Greetings, grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. What a beautiful day out there, isn't it? Man, God is good. You start wondering, you know, if it's ever going to come, spring's ever going to come. My wife and I were driving through Green Acres Road, and I couldn't believe it wasn't long ago, and I was taking pictures, the snowbanks were above my vehicle, and now it's green grass. God is good. For our sermon text for the fifth Sunday after Easter, will be taken from the Gospel of John. We're going to read from the Gospel of John, chapter 14. We're going to read verses 1 through 14, and remain seated for the reading of this word, because we honor the word, whether standing or sitting. The Gospel of John, chapter 14, reading in Jesus' name. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may also be. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, how can we know the way? Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also, for from hence ye know him, and have seen him. Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus said unto him, Have I been so long with you, and yet ye have not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. How sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak, I say unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me. He doth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, and the works that I do, he shall do also. Greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Amen. Let's unite our hearts in a word of prayer. Gracious Father, this is your word that is before us this morning. We praise and we thank you. Father, it's hard to believe that this word is sitting on our coffee tables at home, sitting within our office desks, sitting in our phones. Wherever it may be, Father, wherever we may go, we find this word. And oftentimes we enter into this world saying, Where is God? But the truth is, you are everywhere. Open this word unto us. Sanctify this word. Sanctify us in your truth, for your word is truth. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. This is a great part of Scripture that actually comes after a very interesting part. We turn around oftentimes and we pick up in these places because, you know, the church calendar tells us to. And so therefore we kind of go like robots and we pick up right here. Let not your heart be troubled. Oh, there's a joyful statement. But why is he making this statement? What is the context of the statement that Jesus is making here? Who is he speaking to? He's speaking very directly to his disciples, but not only that, he's speaking very directly to Peter. Because see, Peter is the valiant one. Peter is the bold one. He's the one that makes statements without thinking about it because his passion is there. His heart is in the right direction. But oftentimes, his flesh is very weak. And I can relate to that. I often think that my heart is in the right direction, but then I also find that the fumblings of this flesh are often in the way. And so we turn around and we understand that now when they start discussing where Jesus will go, because now if we really rewind a little bit, we understand that he has the washing of the disciples' feet. We understand that he breaks bread with them. He tells them that one of you will deceive me. He goes through this whole process. And then we understand that Peter turns around and says, Lord, in verse 13 of 38, he says, well, I will lay down my life for you. I will follow you anywhere, he says in 37. And Jesus says, will you? Will you lay down your life for my sake? He says, I'm telling you the truth, Peter. I'm telling you, the cock shall crow until you deny me three times. Peter, will you really do this for me? Will you lay down your life in my behalf? Will you challenge the Roman soldiers? Will you challenge all of Israel? Will you stand there as a bold testimony that you will protect me? He said, I'm telling you the truth. You won't do it. Maybe your heart has the right passion, Peter, but your flesh is weak. You won't do it. But he doesn't leave them here. See, oftentimes as a good, pious individual, I'd like to leave Peter here. Ah, Jesus really told you. He told you what you're made of. He told you exactly what's going to take place and how you're going to fail. But thanks be to God that he doesn't follow my pietistic ways. Thanks be to God that he has mercy and grace and he encourages us in and through these situations. And so after this statement then, because man decided to break it at verse four, chapter 14, we call it, Jesus continues on and he says, but don't let your heart be troubled. Don't worry about this, Peter, because I understand your flesh is weak. I understand you don't have the ability to do this. I understand. He says, don't let your heart be troubled. He says, because you believe in God, believe also in me. There is no difference. God sees your plight. God sees your difficulty. God knows what you're going through. And he understands very plainly, you can't do anything about it because that's who you are. Why did the scorpion sting the frog? Because that's what scorpions do. In my Father's house are many mansions. Or you could very straightforward say, as ESV does, many rooms, many dwelling places. In my Father's house, there's a spot for you. There's a spot for you, but it's not quite ready yet. There's a spot for you, each and every one of you, but yet it's not ready yet, Jesus is saying. He says, because in my Father's house, there is room for you. He says, and if it were not so, in other words, if there was no room for you, he says, I would have told you about it. He says, but actually, quite opposite, I'm going to make ready for you. I'm going to prepare. We do not have the ability. We, in our own flesh, are fallen, and we cannot do this. But yet Jesus turns around and he tells Peter, though you're going to deny me, though you will do this, actually three times before I'm crucified, I am still going to carry out my commission. I am going to go, and I am going to pay the penalty, and I am going to be victorious. This is our God. He says, I'm going to prepare a place for you. He says, and if I go, and if I do this commission, if I follow through with this commission, he says, I will come again. I'm not going to leave you in this desperate place. I am going to come again. He says, and receive you unto myself, because we understand and we know redemption is only found in and through the finished work of Jesus Christ. It is not containing what I can do, or what I can perform, or the church that I go to as far as a religion or a sect. It is founded only in and through the finished work of Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you the honest truth. I say, praise God. Praise God, because it's only found in and through the finished work of Jesus Christ, because I can't do it. And when I turn around and I start examining even my own family and my own struggles, I say thanks be to God, because they can't do it. Because oftentimes I find myself even fighting against the flesh of saying, why aren't they doing this? Why aren't they doing that? And I desperately get out of control thinking, nothing's in my control. Can you imagine how Peter felt when Jesus turned around and told him, Peter, you're not going to be able to stand up to the test. You're going to deny me. You're going to deny me 3 times. Can you imagine how Peter felt even outside of the city gates or the castle walls when he denied him? Not only did he deny him, he actually cussed about it. I don't know that bugger from nothing. Pastor says rude words. Well, the truth of it is, that's who we are in the flesh. We will deny. And it says that when Peter did this and he heard the cock crow, what did he do? He bitterly wept because he understood what Jesus speaks is true. He understood the testimony of Jesus Christ is more powerful than any testimony that ever could be given throughout the universe. And he understood his own frailty. Brothers and sisters in Christ, have you been there? Have you understood your frailty? Have you seen the frailty in your family? Have you seen the frailty in your neighbors? And do you bitterly weep with Peter at the acknowledgement of this frailty? Because we understand and know what Jesus spoke to Peter is absolutely true. And now we can confirm very strongly that the words of Christ are true and that His word is immovable. Then, brothers and sisters in Christ, then rejoice with me, because it's true. He says, in my Father's house are many dwelling places, and I am going to prepare a place for you. He says, and if I go to prepare this place for you, then I'm going to come back. That is just as true. And that is a point of rejoicing. In spite of myself, in spite of my frailties, in spite of my difficulties, Christ has conquered and He calls us to more. Man! This is good stuff. But maybe we're just too passionate. Maybe I'm coming across as a crazy man. Maybe you're sitting in a pew thinking, what's wrong with this dude? He's not a good old apostolic Lutheran. He's not conservative and quiet. To tell you the honest truth, this is something to rejoice in. That God saw us in our situation and He has called us beyond this. He has given the redemption and we stand free. Free in Jesus Christ to go into a world and share it. To go into the world that throws everything negative at us and say, it doesn't matter. To look death in the face and say, I am a victor. I am more than a conqueror through Him who has loved us. I just spent some time with Judy Uncle, who passed away the other day. She always used to tell me something, and maybe I shouldn't even say this, but as I said in Bible study, I'm not too bright. When I think I shouldn't say something, I still say it. Every time I'd get done preaching, she'd come up to me at the end of the church line, and she'd say, you'd make a good Pentecostal. Well, it's not an act. I'm not pretending to be fired up. To tell you the honest truth, God has blessed each and every one of us so greatly that I just desire that you would know it, that you would see it. I desire that my children would see it. I desire that all of this world would see it, to understand that the religion of men is nauseous and gross, but the victory of Jesus Christ is amazing and splendorous for each and every one of us, that there is a hope. I'm not talking about goofy garbage. I'm not talking about false prophecies. I'm talking about the truth of the gospel, that my sin debt has been paid by the Lamb. That's what I speak of. I'm speaking of what we profess to each and every day. One that we took heritage and pride in, saying, believe all your sins forgiven in the precious name and shed blood of Jesus Christ. Because that message is powerful and it is to be made known. But it is to be made known to the world that we are redeemed because He has gone to prepare a place for us. And Thomas turns around and he says, dude, I don't know what you're talking about. What do you mean? We don't even know where you're going. So how can we know the way? And that's often what we do in life. We turn around and we say, there's got to be a system. There's got to be a way. Jesus turns around and he makes the truth known to Thomas, doesn't he? He's very bold in this. And I love this because he says, you know what, Thomas, it's not about anything else. It's not about Lestarius or Rotama. It's not about a pope. It's not about Luther. It's not about John Calvin. It's not about Wesley. It's about him. And brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, this is the gospel truth. He says, I am the way. I am the truth. And I am the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Praise God. I appreciate many individuals that have blessed us throughout Christendom. I appreciate many writings of many great church fathers, but those writings can go burning. They can be burnt in a bonfire, but it doesn't change Christianity. I'm not saying to burn them. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not one of those whack jobs. I might be crazy, but I'm not that. Luther himself said that he wishes every one of his writings would have been burned, because it's not about Luther. It is about Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life. He is the door. Brothers and sisters in Christ, do you see him? He is that narrow path. Absolutely. Broad is the way that leads to destruction. That broadness is Allah. That broadness is Christianity. It's false Christianity, false religions. It is Hinduism. It is Buddhism. It is, in reality, Mother Earth being worshipped. All these things may be nice and cute and cuddly, but the fact of it is, none of them will redeem you. It is through the redemptive work of Jesus Christ and Him alone. There may be many icons in our life that we can look to as individuals that have brought peace. But it is only by the finished work of Jesus Christ that there has been redemption. And that's what we need. He says, Thomas, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father but by me. He says, if you have known me, then you should know the Father. From henceforth, you know him. He says, and have seen him. Do you hear the testimony of Jesus Christ? Do you ever notice in the Gospels, when people come and they offer worship to Jesus, he receives it? You ever notice in Revelation, when angels are talking or the elders are talking and even John falls down to worship, what do they say? Get up! Get up! We are not to receive this. We are but servants as you are. But Jesus Christ is God. Incarnate. He has come in the flesh. And he has redeemed us through the sacrifice. And he turns around and he says, Thomas, you have seen the Father because you have seen me. How many times do we turn around in our lives and we say, man, I wish I could just sit down and talk to God. I wish he would just give me these answers. Brothers and sisters in Christ, he's here. He's here. The problem is, we think here rather than receiving here. We are children of faith, not of sight. We are moved by faith, not rationale. He says, if you had known me, he says, you know the Father. And Philip turns around then and says in verse 8, he says, just show us the Father. Okay? Jesus, enough games. We don't understand what you're talking about. Just do us one more solid here. Show us the Father. And I think, in some way, these are some of the saddest words that are penned in the Scripture. Because Jesus turns around and he says, have I been so long time with you, and yet you have not known me? Have you missed the boat? What are we seeking for in this day and age? What are you seeking for? Are you seeking for a relationship with God? Are you seeking for appeasement in God? It is founded only in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Do you understand that He looks upon you, even if we could say from that cross, and He sees the joy that is set before Him, and He says, Father, I will. I will. Because I love each and every one of them. I will. And He bears the penalty of our sin. And He dies the death that I deserve. And He buries, in reality, the sin debt of this world in the ground. And He is resurrected as a righteous individual. And we receive this imputed righteousness from Christ Himself by faith through grace, because it is the gift of God. Because He says, Peter, you will deny me. He says, Jesse, you will deny me. You will not be able to do this. But if you believe in God, believe also in me. Do not be troubled. Do not be troubled. Have you been so long time with me and you haven't known me, Philip? He says, He that has seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? And I love how Jesus states this. He says, it's an impossibility to separate. How can you turn around and say to me, show me the Father, because I'm standing here? See, we have this goofy understanding sometimes, and I do think that this does carry over from some false understandings in different religions. We turn around oftentimes and we look at how it's been portrayed over the years. You have God the Father in heaven, who is the righteous and the powerful and waiting to slam us. And then you have Jesus Christ, who is the soft, touchy-feely kind that takes our place and He appeases God. And then we even have a different understanding where Mother Mary now also steps in, where we can appeal to Mother Mary, who goes to Jesus, who is a little nicer, and then Jesus goes to God. That's vain. We go directly to God the Father through Jesus Christ, because there is no separation. We understand in the old temple worship there was the holiest of holies, and that was separated even by the veil. But we understand upon the crucifixion of Jesus Christ and the resurrection of Jesus Christ that that veil of the temple was rent in two, it was torn away. That now by the finished work of Jesus Christ we can enter into the throne room of God boldly, because we enter there not alone but in the imputed righteousness of Jesus. Do you understand that you go directly to God your Father now? Because Christ has taken care of the bill. And we stand there boldly in His Spirit, rejoicing over the redemptive work. Do you live in that freedom? He says, Philip, it's an impossibility for me to separate from the Father. He says, how can you even ask this of me? He says, don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? Don't you understand that the words that I speak, I'm not speaking only on the vain flesh, only on the carnate side of things. I'm speaking of the Father. Because God has loved this world so much, He gave His only begotten Son, that all who believe in Him shall have eternal life. We don't separate it there. We don't say, well, Jesus loved this world so much that He came and gave only Himself so that maybe God would take us. It doesn't say that in reality it was only Jesus that was hanging on the cross there. It said God was in Christ, hanging on that cross, reconciling the world unto what? Himself. It says that God was in Christ, hanging on that cross, reconciling the world, bringing the world back to Him. Do we understand and know this? He says very plainly to him, he says, believe that the Father, believe me that I am in the Father is in me, or else at least understand. And he actually says something that's unique here. He says, believe me for the very work's sake. Do you know who understood this very plainly? The Gospel of John, chapter 9, the man that was born blind. He said, isn't this a marvelous thing? He says, in all our years that we've lived upon this earth, never yet have we seen somebody that was born blind to be healed. He understood by the miracle that there was something more to this Jesus. Do you understand that? Do you understand by the miracles in your life, the very ability to get up this morning is a huge miracle, that there is more to this Jesus? Know Him, for He speaks from the Scripture. He speaks of His Spirit. He speaks through His body. He says very plainly, He says, I'm telling you the truth. He says, I say unto you, he that believeth on me and the works that I do, he says, you know what? Now, understanding who I am and in the power of who you are, redemptive, your redemptive work is done for. In other words, by the redemptive work of Jesus Christ, standing in his Holy Spirit of who you are, he says, the works that I do, he says, you're going to do greater ones. Greater ones! So then we get all these individuals that run around in this world and they want to be the next Benny Hinn of the earth. And they're knocking people down, doing all kinds of things. Greater works than Jesus. What can we do that would be greater than what he did? Let me see. I asked the Sunday school this morning, and the Sunday school told me that he healed the blind man. They told me that he fed the thousands. They told me that he healed leprosy. They told me that he walked on water. Those are some pretty cool things. Lazarus was dead for 3 days, and he raised him from the dead. What are you going to do greater than that? A lot. He's not talking about scope. He's talking about magnitude. The numbers. He was incarnate. He surrendered his will. And he came to this earth. And he was bound in reality by the flesh and the containment of the flesh to take the penalty of the sin debt of the world, the last Adam. But now, by the inspiration and the imputation of the Holy Spirit in our lives, think of the lives that we will affect. Think of the magnitude throughout this world of the greatness that the kingdom of God can do. This is what he talks highly of. But then there's another place. There's another place in the Gospel of Mark where I think it's really interesting. Because Jesus goes into a certain city and he goes to, you know, deal with the people and they wouldn't believe him because he was Joseph's son. And it says he wasn't able to do any great work there. But it says this, except heal a few impotent people and cure a few diseases. Now to me that's like huge. If somebody came up here that had a serious disease and we could lay hands on them and they were healed instantly, we'd think, wow, this is the greatest thing ever. And praise be to God, it would be. But the one guarantee I can make you is that that flesh will die another day. That flesh will die another day. But there is something greater than this. Eternal security. Eternal salvation. Understanding that with the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ, we can enter out into this sin-cursed earth and we can bring eternal life to people by preaching of the word, and by hearing of the word they receive faith, and in faith they receive sanctification. This is a great work. And this work needs to continue each and every day. That we would understand it's child's play for God to heal somebody of leprosy. But what the greatest miracle is that he made us ambassadors of this gospel message, that we can enter into a world of dead walking people and bring them to eternal life. He says, you'll do greater things than these. He says, and whosoever shall ask anything in my name. Now this doesn't turn God into our sugar daddy. Doesn't turn him into our puppet. But I want you to hear how this says this. He says, I'm telling you, whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will what? I do. That is a clarifier. Too many times in our life we like to build people's ministry upon what they can do. Do you see what Pastor Jesse did? Pastor Jesse did this. This is Pastor Jesse's church. This is Pastor Jesse, and I'm picking on myself. I could go to Benny Hinn. You ever see him knock people down? If there is any validity to the work that they are doing, it is God. Jesus says, you enter out into this world, and I will give you what you need, and I will equip you with what you need to do the commission. And you enter into the sin-cursed earth, and you enter into it boldly and with love, and you bring the gospel message to the people. And whatever you have need of, or whatever you ask, I will do it. It's not you. I am just a useless servant doing what I was called to do. He says very plainly, he says, that this would take place, that the Father would be glorified. If you shall ask anything in my name, he reiterates, get off yourself. I will do it. Because it is his kingdom. May God be glorified in what he will do. And may we not limit it with our arms of flesh. May we enter boldly into this world. And may we share the simple gospel truth. Your sins are forgiven in the precious atoning work of Jesus Christ. Do you believe this message? Yes, Father, I believe. But as the flesh may cry out, help my unbelief. Glorify your name. And God says very plainly, I will and I have. May he be glorified in and through the finished work of Jesus Christ.